Never got over that this king would shoulder my sin. Chapter number 28 this morning. We've been in the Old Testament for some time, but the Lord sort of steered my heart. Again, I was in revival this week over in Mount Airy, and the Lord sort of touched my heart about this thought for this hour, this very morning. I don't know everybody's need, don't know everybody's situation, but God does, and I sure hope it'll be a help and encouragement and a blessing to you. I don't know that you'll hear anything new today. Sometimes we need to be reminded of some things in the Word of God, and here in Matthew chapter number 28, again, I thank you for being here. A lot of places you could have been on a Sunday morning, but I appreciate you being faithful to the Lord's house, and I trust the Lord will bless you for that. Now, Matthew chapter number 28, very familiar passage we're going to look at today. Of course, this is after the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right prior to His ascension, going up on high, He gave a commission unto the church. Most of us know it well. If you've been in church any length of time, you know what the Bible says, but sometimes it's hard to put into practice what the Bible is. I wouldn't say it's hard, just sometimes we don't do it. We don't always apply what God expects of His people. God never saved us to just sit back and to do nothing. God saved us for a purpose and for a cause. It's sort of like the ministry, you've heard me make this statement, the ministry of multiplication. What does that mean, preacher? Well, it's simply like this. Somebody told me about the gospel. Now it's my responsibility to tell somebody else about the gospel. They get saved, then it's their responsibility to tell somebody else. If folks ever break that ministry of multiplication, then listen, the church will be in trouble. And if you just understand, we've got the greatest message that's ever been told. Now, I don't know if any of you pay. I'm not worried about any signs. I'm not looking for any signs and things like that. You see how Iran attacking Israel? Well, that's a big mistake, man. They ain't got a chance. Iran don't, by the way. But you see all that unfold. A lot of folks say, oh, man, you better keep your eyes to the Middle East. No, you don't have to look to the Middle East. You better keep your eyes to the sky because He's still going to return. Nothing else has to be fulfilled before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in the imminent return of the Lord Jesus. A scripture that I know so well and you know so well. He's not going to send a prophet. He's not going to send an angel. For the Lord Himself, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse number 16, lays out the chronological order. For the Lord Himself shall ascend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Then He said in verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. The 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 11 says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, Brother Ed. What is the terror of the Lord? The terror of the Lord is those that await the judgment of God. And there's a terror. Why do we persuade men, women, boys, and girls to trust Christ as Savior? Well, if you die in that condition, you're going to die and you're going to go to a Christless hell, a place that was prepared for the devil and his angels. So there's no excuse for anybody to die lost in your sin. Hebrews 2 and verse number 3 asks the question, how should we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? The answer to that is you can escape. If you reject the free pardon and forgiveness of sin in the Lord Jesus, hell will be your home one day. But all that can be avoided by simply turning unto the Savior. Jesus died for you. He died for me. He died for everybody. It's been my privilege to be able to share that message for over 20 years now to a lost and dying world that Jesus can save whosoever will. But it's our responsibility. You say, well, wait a minute, preacher. I thought witnessing was the preacher's responsibility and the deacon's and the Sunday school teacher's responsibility. It is. But if you're saved by the grace of God, you're an ambassador. Amen. It's up to you. It's up to all of us to make a difference in this world in which we live. And knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We persuade them to get saved, to be reconciled unto God. And the only way a person can be reconciled to God, because prior to salvation, the Bible lets us know that we are enemies of the cross, we are alienated from a holy God, but God reconciles us through the death of His only begotten Son. That's why John 3:16, one of the most quoted and the most well known, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's a promise that He will keep. He gave His life. And if you want to be reconciled to God, if you don't want to be alienated anymore, if you want to have peace with God, if you want to have access with the Father, you want to be reconciled to a thrice holy God and redeemed and ransomed and one day raptured out of here, you better give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ, because He loves you and He made a way for you to be saved. But the importance, I can't drive home the point of the importance of the gospel more than what I've already said. But Matthew chapter 28, notice what the Lord Jesus Christ, you might say, when a preacher, why should I witness? Why should I try to tell somebody about Jesus? I'll tell you why, because God told you to. God told me to. That ought to be enough. You shouldn't need any more motivation to try to tell somebody else about the Lord Jesus Christ other than the fact that the Lord told us that's what we're to do. I'm not going to ask you to stand, but notice Matthew 28 and verse number 18. Now, this just prior to his ascension. He's already gave his life. He's resurrected from the grave. And for about 40 days, he walked around in a glorified body according to the word of God. We know that he ate broiled fish and honeycomb in that glorified body. He met with his disciples. And now he's getting ready to ascend. But prior to him doing that, and you'll see the fulfillment of that in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8 where he ascended up. But right before that, he gave them power and gave them what we call the Great Commission. Verse number 18 in Matthew 28. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now let's pray. Father, as we bow in your presence, God, again, Lord, this very morning, God, we say thank you for this good day. Lord, the Lord's day that you've set aside, I thank you for the folks that are here today. God, you know every need, every heart, those who are listening by way of the Facebook and the live stream and the telephone and the CD ministry. God, I pray that you'd bless hearts today. I pray that you'd touch hearts. I pray that you'd convict where it's needed and necessary. If there's one listening today, never been saved, God, I ask, Lord, that you'd deal with that heart. God, convict them. I can't save them, but Lord, you can. You want them saved more than we do. We know it's not your will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I pray that you'd save that sinner nearest hell today. But I pray for the child of God, maybe a little bit apathetic over sharing the gospel message with somebody else. I pray, God, that you'd break hearts. Pray that you'd convict hearts. Pray that you'd do a work that only you can do. I can't do it. Lord, you'll have to help us. If you don't, it'll be all in vain. Help this feeble preacher now to decrease that Jesus may be increased and lifted up. Lord, I confess publicly, Lord, I'm nothing. You're everything we'd ever need now. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. An interesting phrase was found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 4. As Jesus came on the scene and he started his public ministry, he went around and he started bringing on disciples. You'll remember two of them, two fellows by the name of Peter and also Andrew. We know Peter more than we do Andrew, but Andrew's always bringing somebody to Jesus when you find him in the Scripture. But Peter and Andrew had been fishing. They were outside of their nets or outside of the boat. They were cleaning those nets, and Jesus came by. And Matthew chapter number 4 and verse number 19, and made this statement. He said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And the Bible said that they forsook all, and straightway they followed the Lord Jesus Christ. They gave up their profession. They gave up their livelihood. They gave up what they were good at to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We could say they were saved. They trusted Christ on that day. But he said, listen, from this point on, you're not going to catch fish. You're going to catch men. And that was a commission unto them. And certainly they did that. Now, Andrew, we don't find a whole lot of negative things about Andrew in the Bible. You think about Peter. Peter made his share of mistakes. Yet on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter number 2, and that's after he had denied the Lord three times. That lets us know that God don't throw us away when we make mistakes. He's a God of second opportunity and third opportunity and fourth opportunity, which shouldn't give us a license to sin. But what I'm saying is this. You might be a child of God today. Maybe you're walking far distance from, maybe you've messed up, maybe you've monkeyed some things up in your life. Here's the good news. God don't throw you away. He can give you another chance today. I'm talking about full restoration, full fellowship with the Lord. You don't get saved but one time, but there's multiple times you had to come back for fellowship because sin breaks that. And that's what happened in Peter's life. But understand, in Acts chapter number 2, he was the one that mounted the pulpit and preached the word of God, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thousands got saved on that day. But you know where it started? It started Matthew chapter number 4. When Peter got the goods, when Andrew got the goods, from that point on, Andrew's bringing somebody to Jesus. And Peter was doing the same thing as well. It all started on that day that they received Christ and they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, after that point, they went and they weren't just fishing for fish then. A trade that they knew well. They understood what they were doing. Now they're fishing for men. I couldn't help but think about this yesterday, Brother Brandon. I think about the time invested in the chosen fishing deal. If you'd have went around with every angler, I think there's 120 some that heard the gospel yesterday. I say to God be the glory. But understand this, if you'd have went around with all those anglers, probably every one of them done things just a little bit different. Probably used different bait, probably had different reels, different rods, different line, different tackle boxes, different, if they was on a boat, they had different boats, different motors, different things in that tackle box, yet they had one goal, a catching literal fish. As I look out over this congregation, there's a lot of us a lot different. Yet God will use us as we are to tell somebody else about the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's the importance of fishing for men. I challenged last year for all of our church family to go after five people that are unchurched. Five people. Five families that are unchurched. You don't have to look far. If you say, well, I don't know if I know five families or not, you just start knocking on doors. You probably knock on 10 doors. You're going to find probably five families that are unchurched. We're living in the most unchurched time in American history. Amen. Even here in the Bible Belt of America. Now, you may knock on a door and you ask somebody they're saved, about 95% I'm going to tell you they're saved. But what makes a difference is when you ask them, what do you base your salvation upon? You'll get about 15 different answers. Some will say, well, you know, I do good to my neighbor and I this. Well, that ain't going to cut it. That ain't going to get you into heaven. Some will say, well, you know, are you saved? Yeah, I go to such and such church. Well, that ain't what I asked you. Or you say, well, I was baptized back in 1974 with my cousin and four or five others from Vacation Bible School. That ain't what I asked you. If somebody says, why are you saved? If it's anything short than the day that you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're probably not saved. Amen. Because that's what salvation is based upon. It's not based on good works. It's not based on some ritual deal. Well, I'm faithful to church. I got all my Sunday school. And if I ask you yourself, I got Sunday school. That ain't what I asked you. All those things are good, but your salvation hinges upon Jesus and Him alone. The ladies used to sing that song, In Christ Alone. And that's exactly right. In Christ Alone. You think about what's that song where all other ground is sinking sand? Other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's exactly right. But understand, as we look at this, somebody told me about the gospel. And I had the privilege of growing up in a church home. Some of you didn't, some of you did. I grew up in a church home. I understood about Jesus. I understood about that. But at 13 years old, I was lost, Brother Kevin. Lost as I could be. But God revealed to me that I was lost, undone without God. I could quote to you scripture. I could give you John 3:16. Sister Jean Davis, I don't know where she's at. She's in. There's so many people in here I can't see now. She's in here. But I remember her investment years ago at Vacation Bible School and all those teachers instructing us to memorize that scripture. There's scriptures that God has given me that I can't tell you right now. But sometimes I'll be in the midst of preaching and God will give me that because years ago somebody invested in me the Word of God and the gospel message. But at 13 years old, I was lost and God dealt with my heart, and I got saved. And God saved me, and since that point, I hadn't always been what I'm supposed to be. I mean, preaching was not, it was not on the bucket list for me. I can assure you of that. Anything other than preaching. Finally, about 24 years old, or 22, somewhere in there, God began to deal with my heart. I guess it was about 22. It was in October of 2000 when God began to deal with my heart about preaching the gospel. And I didn't surrender until October the 7th of 2002. But I remember those days well. And I hadn't regretted a bit of it. Because it's a privilege that I have to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about this. If somebody had the answer to cancer, and they had that, and if they withheld that, you'd say, man, that's a tragedy. But if somebody had that, they would want to give it so people could get some help. I'll tell you something better than that. We've got the gospel that'll free a man and a woman from the chains of sin. We think about life down here, 70 or 80 years old. You say, man, that's a long time. Not in the span of eternity. Listen, friend, we're going to live forever in one or two places. I'm talking about every individual, saved or lost. You're going to live eternally in a place called hell that will eventually turn into the lake of fire, according to Revelation chapter number 20. For the Bible said, in death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and that's where you're headed, to live forever and forever and forever. See, we live on a time scale. I mean, most folks say, well, man, about 12 o'clock, unless we've got a long-winded preacher, we're going to get out of church today. We're going to go down and we're going to eat, and then we got to do this at 2 o'clock, that at 4. Then we're going to go to bed at 11. We're going to get up at 7 o'clock. We're going to punch a clock and go to work. We're going to get off at 3, so on and so forth. Everything is driven by a timetable. But when it comes to eternity and everlasting life, there'll never be an end. The person that dies without God, like the rich man in Luke 16, had opened his eyes in a place called hell. How tragic that is when people have an opportunity. But the same holds true for the child of God. Man, won't it be wonderful to be up there, Brother Randy? No more aches and pains. No more sin. No more difficulty. No more flesh. No more of the problems of this life. Thank God it'll be forever, never an end. You won't have to set your clock and say, well, this will be over in a couple hours. No, it'll be forever. And our little finite minds can't really fully grasp and comprehend that. But that's a fact. That's the truth of the Word of God. And that's why it's so important. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. A lot of folks give their life to talking politics. Amen. A lot of people give their or devote a lot of their time talking about somebody. Amen. Gossiping. A lot of folks devote a lot of their time talking about fishing, talking about hunting, talking about shopping, talking about playing ball, baseball, football, basketball, soccer, golf, so on, so forth. A lot of folks devote a lot of time. Not necessarily nothing wrong with those things. We talk about that in the span of eternity. It ain't worth a flip. Now, that ain't good English, but it's the truth. It ain't worth a flip. But in the space of eternity, the most valuable things are what Brother Howden usually we don't talk about as much as we should. If I were to ask you, do you believe that Jesus, and listen, I want an audible amen. If you don't believe this, then you just stay quiet. If you believe Jesus is the only way, can I get an amen? As far as I know, everybody believe that Jesus is the only way. If you believe what you just said and you agreed to, when's the last time you told somebody about Jesus? Do you really believe it? Do you believe there's a heaven? Do you believe there's a hell? When's the last time you told somebody about Jesus? It's a good question. See, it's a pointed question, because I'm not talking to your husband, I'm not talking to your wife, I'm not talking to your children. No, I'm talking to you, I'm talking to me. When's the last time you told somebody about Jesus? Oh, listen, preacher, we go down and we eat breakfast every morning, we talk about politics, we talk about this, we talk about that. What about Jesus? On the job, we go into the break room, we talk about sports, we talk about ball games, we talk about this, we talk about that. Really, in the space of eternity, don't mean a hill of beans, but we don't talk about Jesus. A lot of times, it's a fear of rejection. Well, preacher, I don't know how they're going to respond. Well, you better tell them. Here's another big one, too, by the way, Brother Ed. A lot of folks won't witness because they don't have any credibility. Because sad to say, you might go to church, but your co-workers know you in a different way. Your friends and your family have seen you in a different light. They've watched your actions. They've listened to your speech. They've seen your behavior. And you're just like Lot in Genesis chapter number 19, verse number 14 and 15, when he told his sons-in-law, hey, get out of here. The Lord's going to destroy this place. And the Bible said it seemed unto them as one that mocked. He didn't have any credibility whatsoever because his lifestyle didn't match up. Yeah, man. That's why it's so important. Listen, you're going to stumble. You're going to fall. But you better make sure you live clean in this life to the best of your ability. Why? Because you got eyes watching you. Amen. There's people watching your steps. There's people watching your actions. There's people watching your mouth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. You let that come out, and then you're going to try to tell somebody about Jesus. They ain't going to listen to a thing you've got to say because you don't have any credibility. A lot of folks don't witness because their fear of failure. The devil said, man, they're going to reject you. So you remain quiet. Then a lot of folks don't tell others about Jesus because they know their life don't match up, and they've heard that curse word. They've heard laughing at those dirty jokes. They've seen your lifestyle, your behavior. They've seen you blow up like a little banty rooster, and they don't want what you got. Amen. Now listen, as I've already said, you might be here today and you say, well, you know, preacher, I've messed up. Peter did too. But God restored him. God gave him another opportunity and another opportunity and another opportunity. And boy, it's important to stay clean in this world. What did God say? Be ye holy, for I am holy. God never told us to do anything that we weren't capable of doing. Amen. You can't do it in and of yourself. But listen, if you're saved by the grace of God, you got the Holy Spirit living inside of you. That's why it's important, Ephesians 5, verse number 18, be not drunk with wine where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. It's important. It's imperative for you and I to be filled with the Holy Ghost to make a difference in this world. I've already asked you the question. You said, yeah, Jesus is the only way. When's the last time you shared your faith with somebody? There's a few things I want you to see quickly right here. Out of Matthew chapter number 20, I want you to notice as we go, because Jesus said when he called his disciples there, and Peter, and specifically Peter and Andrew, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19, he said, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Well, we know they forsook the nets, so they follow the Lord Jesus. Then right after his death, burial, and resurrection, he gives this commission unto the church, to you and I today. We are to go. Now, that first word is very important. Go. It's an action word. It's almost as is, as you are going, go. That's what the Bible tells us to do. Did you know there's four things we ought to do when we go and we try to witness somebody? Number one, we're to go with authority. We go with authority. You don't go on Brian's authority. You don't necessarily go on Faith Community Baptist Church's authority. I think again this week on Tuesday nights they've been meeting. Some of our guys from the college and career and gals as well been going out door to door. Again, it's not a surprise. We got new folks coming in. Listen, you might not knock on that door, but God always returns at you. I mean, God honors that witnessing side of things on Tuesday nights. There's an opportunity to go. But you know what? They don't go in Brian's name. They don't go in Faith Community Baptist Church. They go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we're to go. We're to go under that authority when we go. And that represents action. It represents activeness all the time, every day. There's opportunities that we have every day. We either relish those opportunities or we waste those opportunities that we have before us. Think about this. Ephesians 5, verse number 16 said, redeeming the time because the days are evil. What's that mean, preacher? Well, we better make the most of our time. We should. Now, again, there's a lot of things going on in Israel now. I don't know. Jesus could come back today. He could come back next week. Could be another 50 years. But I know this. We better redeem the time. In other words, make most of the time that we have at our disposal right now, because we're not promised tomorrow. You're not promised tomorrow. I'd say this. If you're not saved, don't you wait for another day to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus. You ought to do that right now. The Bible said now is the accepted time. Behold, today is a day of salvation. But as we go and tell others, we go in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice in your Bible, Matthew 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. We go in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's been given all power. In heaven and in earth, we go in Jesus' name. You remember the early churches, they're going out and they're witnessing in Acts 4 and verse number 12, and this was the message they said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. What is that name? That's none other than the wonderful, lovely, matchless name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's His authority in which we go in. Now, time won't permit me, but you go to Acts chapter number 8, you read from verse 26 down to verse number 35. There was an Ethiopian eunuch over there that day, and he was reading the Word of God, the book of Isaiah. And old Philip came by there. The Spirit of God drew him that way. And as he's reading in the book of Isaiah, he didn't understand. And Philip said, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how in the world can I understand unless somebody guide me? And he took right there, I love this too. You got these PhD doctors that say, well, you can't find Jesus in the Old Testament. Man, that crowd ain't even saved, man. Jesus is all over the Word of God, from Genesis chapter number 1 all the way to Revelation 22, the 39 books in the Old Testament, to 27 in the New. He's on every page. If you can't find Him, it ain't God's fault. When you think about that, old Philip, he opened up in Isaiah where that eunuch was reading in Acts chapter number 8, and the Bible said he preached unto him Jesus. That old guy gave his heart and life to the Lord Jesus. Why? Because Philip went in the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus. That's what the authority I come in today, sharing the gospel unto you. And we share the gospel unto others. As we go, we're to go with authority. But not only with authority, we're to go with the ability that God has given us. You know what, Brother Brandon? God hadn't called you to be me. Brother Howard, God hadn't called me to be Brother Howard. Ain't called Brother Allen to be Brother DJ, or Brother DJ to be Brother Josh, Brother Josh to be to be Brother Jamie. He's called every one of us according to our ability that we have. All of us are a little bit different. All of us are. Some of you got hair, some of us don't. Amen. Some short, some tall. Some are low-tempered, some are high-tempered. Some are what you call the introvert, the extrovert. Yet God calls all the verts to tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I guess I just made that up. But understand, we're to go with authority. We're to go with the ability. But here's what we'll do. We'll make excuses. Brother Harry, we'll make excuses. Well, somebody else will tell them. Somebody else can do it. I'm not eloquent in speech, all right? That's what Moses said. Say, well, I'm just but a child. That's what Jeremiah said. Because listen to what the Bible said in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 6. Then said I, God told him, he said, man, you're going, I want you to preach this crowd. He said, oh, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I'm a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Jeremiah began to make excuses. Others in the Bible make excuses. And listen, we're masters at that. Don't have time. We better make time to tell somebody about Jesus. Because there's going to come a time it's going to be too late. There's been folks in my past, and especially there's one guy in particular that I'm thinking about that I wanted to go see and I never got to see. Oh, and by the way, I shared this. And a lot of times, I remember we moved to service, Brother Kevin. This is probably before y'all ever come down here. Moved to service. And our choir went and sung, and I was preaching. It was a Sunday night. And I think it's over at D. Wayne Sands Church over at Believer's Bad. It's been several years ago, probably about 2011, 2012. And I went over there, and we moved our Sunday night service here over there, and we didn't have service that Sunday night. As far as I know, that was the only time that man came by Faith Community Baptist Church, and we wouldn't hear. As far as I know, he died lost in his sin. Far as I know. That's why we don't, the reason I say that, that's why we don't move services anymore. Listen, we folks know that very rarely, I think this past Christmas we didn't have a Sunday night service, but very rarely, I'm talking about if it falls on July the 4th, we're going to be here Sunday night, good Lord willing. Amen. You never know who's going to come. Amen. You better have the doors open, amen, where they can come to the house of God. Now, I say all that to say this. The ability that God has given us, He's called us to be ourselves. Don't go and try to be something you're not. Be yourself. Listen to this. In Ephesians 4, verse number 7, 8, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ, wherefore He saith, when He sent it up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He's gave us certain gifts, and we're to utilize and use those gifts for God's glory. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, but ye shall receive power. Listen, God didn't leave us defenseless. He gave us tools. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. We're one body. Romans 12, verse 4 said, For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, yet every one of us is important. We got older folks in here. We got younger folks in here. But here's the key, you're saved by the grace of God. We're to go with authority, and we're to go with the God-given ability and gifts and talents and design that God has given to you and I. Not only do we go with authority, not only do we go with ability, but we go with an agenda. What should be our agenda? Is your agenda so you can put another notch in your belt? Well, I won somebody else to the Lord. That shouldn't be. That's the wrong agenda. Amen. Amen. What should be our agenda? To bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, it's awful quiet in here today. I understand it's not a real exciting, it should be an exciting message. Because I'm saved because somebody told me about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Somebody hinges on, their eternity hinges on you. A lot of times we go into a service and say, well, the preacher, he's laying it on such and such. No, oftentimes we think, man, he must be talking about somebody else. No, every one of us is strategically and critically important. If you're visiting with us, you're saved by the grace of God. It's your responsibility to tell somebody about the Lord Jesus. And we're to go with that agenda to bring honor and glory to the Lord. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, he said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." See, a lot of people, and let me run this trail right here and I'm going to move on. I'm about done. Brother Ed, there's a lot of folks that will do something if you'll call their name.
Amen.
A lot of folks will do something if you can put a memorial plaque up for them.
Amen.
A lot of folks will do things for if you'll put up a memorial statue somewhere for them. If you call out their name, if you pat them on the back, they'll do it. Well, if that's what it takes for you to win, to try to tell somebody about Jesus, man, you might as well not even do it. Because it ain't about it. This thing's bigger than me and little old you. We're to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, "Well, preacher, I want to see folks saved." Well, listen, God wants to see them saved more than you do. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But seem like the most important things in life is what we very rarely do. We'd rather talk about fishing. We'd rather talk about hunting. We'd rather talk about ball games. We'd rather talk about politics and weather and this vacation and retirement and bank accounts and stock market. We'd rather talk about that and even Israel than talk about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is that? Because the devil knows that the minds of them that have been blinded, the gospel, if we hide it from them, we know that they're lost. They're going to die in their sin. And the devil knows that, so he shuts our mouth. Amen. But we're to go. God reminds us in the Scripture, the Great Commission, we're to go with the authority of the Lord Jesus. We're to go with the ability, the God-given gifts and talents and design that God's made us by. And we're to go with the agenda at the end of the day, at the start of the day, all glory goes to God. But then finally, we're to go with an attitude. Now, I ain't talking about a bad attitude. Now, listen, don't you go out and try to, "Well, I'm going to have to go tell somebody about Jesus. The preacher got on to me. Here, you want to trust Christ as Savior?" Now, ain't nobody going to listen to that, man. That's a poor spirit. It's a poor attitude. It's a bad attitude. But we're to go with the attitude. You know what Jesus told his disciples? That there's wolves out amongst us. Listen to this. Matthew 10, verse 16. "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves." He said, "Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." That should be our attitude. When we go out, know that you're going to encounter some obstacles. You're going to encounter some resistance. That's why Paul said under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God to Timothy, he said, "Yeah, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." So I ain't facing much persecution. Well, I ask you this question: you living a godly enough life? Amen. You got enough credibility? If you don't, man, today's a good day. Say, "Lord, you got to restore that credibility to me. God, help me in my actions, in my speech, in my behavior, so others will want what I got. God, help me in that department." We ought to go with the attitude of this in Romans 8 and verse number 31. If God be for us, who can be against us? That's the attitude that we should go with. Somebody loved me and cared for me enough that they invested in my life and told me about the Lord Jesus. Amen. Even before I got saved, I think about all the words that had been spoken. There were seeds that began to come up. You just remember, we're going to reap what we sow, but we're going to reap after we sow. And that may be a duration of time. And it may take all those times, Sister Jean, in vacation Bible school, in Sunday school class, and preaching the numerous preachers that I sat under and heard that gospel. It began to work on me. And at 13 years old, finally God used another preacher. First time I'd ever met him that week to preach a message. I can't tell you what he preached. But man, I saw myself lost on that Wednesday night. And I didn't get saved on Wednesday, but I got saved on that Thursday. I don't mind telling that story again. Because listen, man, that's what changed my life. That's what changed my eternal destination. I'm going to heaven one day because somebody went in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. They went with the agenda. It's not about me, but it's about the Lord. I'm an ambassador. I'm just doing what God has asked me to do. They went with their ability. They weren't trying to be somebody else. They had a call on their life, as you do as a child of God, to tell somebody about the Lord Jesus, and they went with the attitude, "Hey, if God be for us, who can be against us?" Did you know this? And this stat is telling. Somebody done some research. And this has been a few years ago, but I guarantee it hadn't changed any. Somebody done a survey And it said the majority of most soul winners, those that tell others about Jesus, have been saved less than 2 years. Saved less than 2 years. So those that are just recently saved, they have an excitement about it. They want to tell somebody else about Jesus. But you know what that tells me, and it's concerning. After a year or two, that excitement wires off. We don't seem as in. The further we move away from that time that we got in, brother, it seemed like folks don't have the burden and the zeal and the desire to tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to get that back. Amen. 2 years. You know, there's people that's going to stand before God that day, and there ain't going to be any excuses made. God give us everything that we have at our disposal. He enables us, He equips us, He fills us with the Spirit. And how many people are going to stand before God empty-handed? Spent plenty of time talking about politics. Spent plenty of time talking about vacation and retirement, 401ks and banking industry and the weather and this, that, and the other and jobs. But spent very little time talking about the super major things with eternal value and eternal weight. And there's a couple things we better do. Sister Savannah's coming. That'll hurry me up. You and I ought to look and pray for opportunities. You pray for those opportunities God will put somebody in your path. Number two, not only pray and look for those opportunities, you better seize those opportunities when they come. But number three, you better stay clean in this world. You better watch that mouth. Amen. Better watch that attitude. Better watch how you live before them. You say, well, and I'm a firm believer of this, we ought to tell people about Jesus. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. But your life, just your life can make a difference. You say, is there any examples in the Bible? There's a bunch of them, but the greatest example I can think of, which parallels us as believers, is found in John chapter number 12. There was a man there that the Pharisees and the scribes wanted to put to death. Because of him, not the Lord Jesus, but because of this man, people were coming to Christ and getting saved. Who was that man? That was none other than Lazarus. Lazarus was dead in John 11. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, loose him and let him go. Here's a changed man. You get to John chapter number 12, I never find one time, Brother Jamie, where Lazarus ever said a word. But you read it, John 12. Many came to the Lord Jesus Christ because of this man's transformed life. Don't tell me your life don't make a difference, because it does. Amen. So you better watch your speech. You better watch your actions. You better watch your behavior. Because if you don't, you're not going to have any credibility. You're not going to be able to tell your friends about Jesus, because you've sit there and you've talked corrupt, and you've talked about things that shouldn't have been talked about. They've seen you live a lifestyle that is anti-God and anti-Christ and anti-Bible. And you say, well, I'm a child of God. I know Jesus. Yet you don't have any credibility. Two things will keep us from witnessing. Again, one is we won't do it because we don't have any credibility. People know us too well. Then number two, you got that fear of rejection. Preacher, what if they reject us? Listen, they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, man. Just joining to the fellowship of His sufferings, like the Apostle Paul said. Hey, I already said a while ago, I said, hey, if you believe Jesus is the only way, far as I know, everybody said amen. And if you really believe that, and you really believe there's a heaven, you really believe there's a hell, the Bible said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Have you been in the persuading department? When's the last time you told somebody about Jesus? What about that neighbor that you go by and you say, well, I know he don't go to church. I know they don't go to church. But I'm going to go by and I'm going to talk to him one day. But you just ain't never got to. Why don't you make that a point? Let God burden you. Don't let the preacher burden you. Let God burden you. We ought to go with authority. We ought to go with the agenda. We ought to go with the ability that God's given us. And with the attitude, if God be for us, who can be against us? As we stand all over the house, above all, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Above all, if you're here with us today and you don't know that you're saved, man, your eternal destination depends on what you do with Jesus. Hello, friends. This is Brian Poindexter, the pastor of Faith Community Baptist Church, located at 2216 Hennings Road in East Bend, North Carolina. We're so grateful to have you listening to our CD ministry that's been provided as an outreach of our church. It's our desire and focus at Faith Community Baptist Church to preach and teach the whole counsel of God to a lost and dying world, to equip the saints of God for service, and to encourage the elderly and shut-ins who cannot attend services due to physical ailments. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school for all ages, and our Sunday school hour is followed by our worship service at 11 a.m. with old-fashioned singing and preaching from the Word of God. We meet back every Sunday night at 6 p.m. for our worship service, and every second Sunday night of each month we have what's called an eat and meet service. After our 6 p.m. service, we gather in the fellowship hall for food and fellowship. On Wednesdays, we meet back at the church for our midweek worship service with choir singing and preaching again from God's holy word. Our ladies prepare a meal each Wednesday prior to our service from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. I give you and your family a cordial invitation to be with us at any or all of our service times. Above all, you may be listening today, and maybe you've never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that's the greatest decision anyone can ever make in this life. Too many folks prepare for vacation, they prepare for retirement, they seem to prepare for everything, but sad to say, many make no preparations for eternity. The reality is very clear. We all will leave this world someday, for the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. You must understand that you are guilty before a holy God." Romans 3:23 said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 53 and verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." You must understand that your good words, good works, and good deeds will not get you to heaven. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible said, "Therefore by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." You must understand that you're loved. I'm thankful that in John 3 and verse 16, it said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Romans 5 and verse 8 declares, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You must understand and realize there's only one way to stand right before God. There's not many ways, there's only one. Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the apostles' message was very simple. There in Acts chapter 4, in verse number 12, they said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You might ask the question, "Preacher, how can I be saved?" That's what the Philippian jailer asked in Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31. He asked Paul and Silas, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Romans 10:9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must ask God to save you. I can't do it. No one can do it for you. Romans 10:13 said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you know you're a sinner, and if you're sorry for your sin, and you believe Jesus died for your sins, you simply have to ask him to save you. You might say, "Preacher, how can I know for sure God will hear me?" But first of all, the Bible tells us that we must be drawn. John 6 and verse 44, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Psalm 51 and verse 17 gives us the attitude we need to have when we come to God. It said there, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." If God draws you by conviction, and if you're sorry for your sin, you repent of them. If you believe Jesus died for your sins, and if you asked him to save you, then the Bible declares you've been saved. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you've been forgiven of all your sin. Romans 8:1 declares, "There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Once a person has been saved, they need to be a part
of a fundamental Bible-believing church where they can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God calls us out of darkness and commands us to walk in light after we've been saved by His marvelous grace. If we can help you here at Faith Community Baptist Church in any way, feel free to contact us. If you have asked God to save you, please contact us, and we will send you some free literature to help you in your newfound life in Christ. Thank you again for listening to our CD ministry that's been provided by our church here, and may God richly bless you and your family is our prayer.